Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to another Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
What a weirdo.
I got a lot of cool stuff planned for this episode, but on the last show, I told you that my wife, Lindsay, made us get a cat. And this is something that I did not want because I hate cats. But I gave in, and we named him Mr. Kitty. And Mr. Kitty seems to be on a mission to destroy everything in the house. And I'm pretty sure it won't be long before every piece of furniture that we own will be either shredded with his razor-sharp claws or defecated on.
It's crap!
Of course, I knew that kind of thing would happen because that's why I never wanted a cat in the first place. But what I didn't plan on is that Mr. Kitty actually loves me.
I don't believe it.
He does all this stuff, like sits in my lap, and he follows me around the house, and he even goes into the bathroom with me.
How precious is that?
And the other night, I'm watching Monday Night Football, and you may have seen the picture I posted on Facebook. But Mr. Kitty actually got up in front of the TV screen and was watching the game with me. And so I thought, well, this cat can't be all bad. And he is kind of sweet. And he's got the softest fur you've ever felt.
Isn't that just precious?
But all that said, if he poops on the futon one more time, I'm going to make a pair of gloves out of him.
You're sick.
But enough talk about my cat. How about we check out some of your emails?
Time for listener emails.
Okay, and starting out today, we got... Okay, on the last episode, I played you a list of scary bands... And I heard from several of you who said you really enjoyed that, including Sean McClure, who said really loved hearing Electric Eye by Judas Priest and the Blue Oyster Cult song. However, I also heard from John Paul in Wisconsin, who I commonly refer to as John Paul George Ringo. And John Paul said, Blue Oyster Cult? Really? He said he saw them recently and they sucked. Well, I don't know what to tell you, John Paul, because I saw them back in like the late 70s and early 80s, and they were awesome. I know their keyboard player, Alan Lanier, died recently, and I'm not even sure how many guys are still left in the band. I think maybe one or two. So I wouldn't judge them on that. But honestly, you're not the only one, John Paul, because I've had a lot of people over the years say, why do you like Blue Oyster Cult? And I'm not really sure. I mean, I just like their songs. If you listen to the old live albums, they're kind of sloppy and all that kind of stuff. But I still like them. I think they write great songs.
You're stupid.
I also heard recently from a Mr. David Whiteman.
Who the hell is this guy? Has anybody ever heard of him?
And if you don't know who David is, well, he's the self-proclaimed number one fan of Galactic Cowboys. Even though he's never, ever made it to any of the Galactic Cowboy reunion shows.
I'm appalled by this.
However, he does know a whole lot about our music, apparently, and has a lot of opinions about our songs, including how long some of them should or shouldn't have been.
The nerve!
Yeah, apparently Psychotic Companion off of the Machine Fish CD was just way too long. And all I can say is, I'm sorry, David, and the next time Galactic Cowboys is in the studio, we will have you come by so we can consult with you. We thought we knew what we were doing when we were making those albums, but apparently not.
You guys suck.
But apparently David doesn't know everything.
What?
Yeah, I know. I was shocked, too.
I am just stunned.
Because he wrote to ask me if I could tell him the lyrics to a little thing called Lord Byron. It was a Galactic Cowboy demo. And so I thought, you know, I hadn't thought about that song in years, and I don't think I've ever played it on this show. And so I'm going to play it for you. I'm going to tell you what the lyrics were. But first, let me explain what it was.
We don't want this!
It was when GC was in the studio making the Space in Your Face CD. And the guy who engineered that album was a cool dude named Brian Garcia. And Brian was our road manager for a while. He was our sound engineer on the road. And he was a big, lovable guy with a great sense of humor. And it wasn't like he was massively huge or anything, but he was a little on the chunky side. And he liked to eat, and he had kind of an affinity for, double burgers and things like that.
Big, fat whoppers.
And while we were in the studio, Ben started this running joke where he would call Brian Lord Byron. And the way I remember it is that Ben just started singing kind of this opera song called Lord Byron. And he just kind of made it up on the spot and wrote some lyrics out. And we went into the sound room, the vocal room, and recorded it on about, 30 different tracks. And by the time we were done with it, it sounded like it was a big, huge choir singing. And we just had a blast doing it. But the words to it were, O Lord Byron, watch him flow. See his largeness go and go. Through the halls of Rivendell, which is where we recorded, double patty would be swell. Real big boy.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
And so we got it all recorded, and I said, hey, why don't I do one of those guys on public radio that introduce the classical music? They're always real serious, and they have deep voices and all that, you know? And I said, let's put it on the beginning of it. And so that's what we did, and if you've never heard Lord Byron before, here it is in its entirety.
And that was Bartok's Fifth Symphony in C major. You're listening to KCOW, Classical Out the Wall Zoo. And now we have the Norman Chubby Knuckle Choir performing Lord Byron from the Hamburg Suite in double D flat, conducted by Leopold.
Ah, that still makes me laugh.
I don't find that funny.
Those were just kind of spur-of-the-moment goofs that we'd do while we were in the studio. We never planned any of that stuff. We'd just be sitting around, and Ben would usually come up with something like that, and we'd end up recording it, and it was just a blast. And we did several of those. One was kind of a jazz song where I did kind of a Leon Redbone impersonation. And another one that probably a lot of you have heard was a country song called Grandmother's Closet. And I think I'll just play it for you real quick, and then I will explain what we were thinking.
Well, this here's a song about my grandmother. Go like this. There's a sound coming from Grandmother's Closet. We ain't put my finger on it yet. It's sounding awful hot like
Yeah, Yeah. Now, I don't really remember completely, but I'm pretty sure it was probably Ben who came up with this. But we were sitting around one day in the studio talking about stuff that smells. And one of my least favorite fragrances of all time is this stuff called patchouli.
Oh, God, that is disgusting.
And women, and I think some men, wear this stuff, and I guess it's supposed to be some kind of elegant thing. But this perfume kind of smells like mothballs to me, and I hate it. And I used to know this girl who would come to our shows, and she'd be saturated in that stuff, and she would always come up and hug me, and then, like, the next day, my clothes would still be smelling like it. And so Ben, or maybe Wally, came up with this tune, and we went in and recorded it. And the lyrics are, "There's a smell coming from grandmother's closet. We ain't quite put our finger on it yet. It smells an awful lot like patchouli or some other kind of rancid stench. And all I can say is the guys on Hee Haw would have been proud of us."
Yeah!
Now, as a bonus, I'm going to play you a live version of this song, which I didn't even know existed. But fortunately, I had an MP3 the other day sent to me by Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David tells me this song was recorded in Cleveland, and I don't even remember doing it. But here it is. Enjoy.
Yes, we are. We are a country band, and we can prove it right now. This guy over here, he wants to come up and sing a song.
The next email is from a cool guy in California named Andrew Tomasulo. And Andrew, like a lot of you, is a Galactic Cowboys fan and a Rockcast listener. And he said he really enjoyed the episode where I talked about the song Oregon. He said it completely blew my mind and I hear it now with an entirely different perspective. I've always liked the lengthier, moody GC pieces like Red Sun, Oregon, and Swimming in December. Well, thanks so much, Andrew. I appreciate you writing me, and it's great to know that you're listening. And since you like the Monty's Breakdown segments that I do, and you also like Swimming in December, well, how about I do a Monty's Breakdown segment of Swimming in December?
No! God, please, no!
Well, all right. You know, I usually play you the version that was on the album, and in this case, it was on the Let It Go CD, which was our last album. But what a lot of you don't know is I wrote that song when I was doing demos for my first solo CD. And I didn't know at the time that it was going to end up being a Galactic Cowboys song, but it did. And I went back and listened to the demo the other day, and I thought it was kind of interesting. And I thought, well, maybe you guys will think so too. So let's start out with the demo for Swimming in December.
Never answer.
think I must have done this demo back around 98 or 99, and I was still using this 8-track cassette Porta Studio. And I didn't even own a drum machine at the time, so I borrowed one from a friend, and I programmed the drums, and then I laid the guitar, and then bass, and then I put the lead vocals, and a lead guitar, and the background vocals, and then right at the end, I added a keyboard part. And the funny thing is, I didn't own a keyboard either, but the drum machine also had some keyboard sounds on it. And one of them was human voice, and that's the one I used. And I loved that sound, and it really gave the song kind of an eerie, haunting feel.
Kick me in the stomach.
I hadn't heard this song in a while, and the other day my stepdaughter came walking in with her Kindle iPad thing, and she was listening to Spotify or something like that, and they had Galactic Cowboys on there, and she was playing this song. And I sat there and listened to the words, and I went, holy crap, was I depressed. These lyrics right around the time when I knew Galactic Cowboys was breaking up, I'd moved away from Houston, and I felt kind of unappreciated. And so a lot of the words in this song are about the band and how I felt about things, and I just gotta be honest. But since then, we've done several reunion shows, and as far as I'm concerned, we've mended a lot of wounds, and things are good now. I love those guys, and I hope to do more in the future with them. Now, the demo version was about 5.5 minutes, but when we did it for Let It Go, we extended it and made it much longer. And obviously, it sounded better on the final version. We re-recorded everything, had Jerry Gaskell play drums on there. But all in all, it kind of kept true to what I had originally envisioned. The next email I've got here is from Gary in Baltimore. And Gary has sent me a top 10 list of the top 10 musicians he wishes weren't dead. And his list starts out at number 10 with Scott Columbus, drummer of Manowar, and number 9, Chris Oliva, guitarist of Sabotage. Yeah, Gary, I've actually got a story about Chris Oliva. And I didn't know him real well or anything, but Galactic actually toured with Sabotage for a couple of weeks back on the Space in Your Face tour. And we didn't really go over that well on that tour. The Sabotage fans didn't exactly love us. But like I said, it was only a couple of weeks that we were out with them. And at the end of it, we actually got dropped by Geffen and we just went home. And a couple of days later, I got a phone call from the keyboard player in Sabotage at the time, and he was like, "Hey dude, you won't believe this. Chris was in a head-on car collision and it killed him." And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, you're with the guy one day and the next day he's gone, and really sad. But yeah, he was great. As is your pick number 8, John Lennon.
I don't know that name.
Yeah, that was another sad one. I remember where I was the night I heard he died. I was in college and came back to my room after a night class, and I actually heard it from Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football.
You know what? That's enough. This is depressing.
Moving on to number 7, it's Jimi Hendrix, and at number 6, it's Peter Steele from Typo Negative. And yep, I hated to hear that when he died because I was a big Typo fan. But anyway, number 5 is Layne Staley, number 4 is Randy Rhoads, and number 3 is John Bonham, and number 2 is Dimebag Darrell. And Gary says, "I miss Darrell and I miss Pantera. What made his death even more hurtful was that I heard the news while I was attending my grandmother's wake. Bad day." Yeah, I guess so. Of course, I actually met him several times. He was a Texas guy, and we used to hang out with him before they even got signed. And I met this guy a couple years ago who was real close friends with Dimebag, apparently. And he said that when he would go over to Daryl's house, that Dimebag had this big jute box, and it had all the Galactic Cowboy CDs on it. Said he was a big fan. And I thought that was really cool, and so was Dimebag. He was an awesome guitar player and just a great guy. But that would bring us to number 1 on Gary's list of musicians that he wishes weren't dead. And at number 1 is Cliff Burton from Metallica. So that's Gary's list, but he wants to know what my list would be. So here are my top 10 musicians that I wish weren't dead. And I'm going to start out at number 10 with Freddie Mercury, because I never got to see Queen live.
What a tragedy.
That would be followed at number 9 with Frank Zappa. Number 8, yes, I too would love to see Cliff Burton still alive. Number 7, I've got Dimebag Darrell. And at number 6, a lesser-known guitar player named Rory Gallagher. He was an Irish, bluesy, rockin' guitar player with great songs. And if you've never heard of him, go check out Rory Gallagher.
I'm not going to do that.
Now, at number 5, I wish the Ramones were still alive. Especially my cousin Dee Dee Ramone. Hard to believe everyone in the original lineup is gone.
You're bumming me out, old man.
Number 4 is Jimi Hendrix, and God, wouldn't it be great to see him now? I mean, you wonder what he'd be doing, but It would have to be great, wouldn't it?
Maybe not.
Number three on my list is my favorite drummer of all time, Keith Moon. I still get chills every time I see even video of him, so I would love to see him still playing with The Who, but God, I miss Keith Moon.
Oh, he died?
At number two, like Gary, I still wish John Lennon was alive and George Harrison, too. I'm guessing they would still refuse to do a Beatles reunion, but if there was some way to get them back together, that would be awfully cool.
You're not going to get that.
And at number one on my list is Phil Lynott, and I always wanted to see Thin Lizzy live in person. I never got to, and now I never will.
It is so sad.
Yeah, I had my chance to see him back around 78, and I blew it.
What's the point of getting up tomorrow to live?
So there you go, there's my list, and now Gary from Baltimore and I guess myself are both eligible for an amazing prize package. Hey kids, it's time now to see what's on my iPod. All right, I'm going to start this out on kind of a downer. But I've talked about this band for years called Scary Kids Scaring Kids. And they broke up a year or two ago. But the other day, I got the really sad news that their singer, Tyson Stevens, passed away. And I was really upset, and I went and listened to their music. And honest to God truth, I actually cried a little bit. And I'll tell you, the guy was one of my favorite singers of all time, and I will miss him a lot. I think I saw Scary Kids Scaring Kids about three times, and Tyson Stevens was always flawless. And when he died, he was working on a new band called Coma Prevail, and I was really looking forward to that. But sadly, that will never be. And you know me, I love a lot of the classic singers like Robin Zander and Glenn Hughes. But this guy was only 29 years old when he died, and I would put him right up there with some of my favorites of all time.
Take more, take
So rest in peace, Tyson Stevens. Thank you for the music. And if you've never heard Scary Kids Scaring Kids, go get some of that.
Well, maybe I will.
Speaking of great singers, I mentioned Glenn Hughes. Well, he's got a new album. And the name of his band is California Breed. Okay, y'all know what I think of Glenn Hughes. He's pretty much a musical god. All that said, this CD really isn't my thing. It's very bluesy, and if you like Zeppelin a lot, you'll really like this. Like usual, his voice is amazing, but the songs I'm not that into. But I know a lot of you guys that listen to this show are big King's X fans and stuff like that, and yeah, you'll dig it a lot. Now here's another band that has mind-blowing musicians in it, but once again, I'm not crazy about the CD. It's a new album from Mr. Big.
Welcome to eternity. Baby's gonna be a big star. A golden opportunity. Sugar sweet and touch of
the name of the CD is The Stories We Could Tell. And as much as I admire Billy Sheehan and Paul Gilbert, I can guarantee you I will not be sitting around listening to this. Not because it isn't good, but because I'm just not into the whole blues rock thing.
You jerk!
But if you're into that kind of thing, check it out, because Paul Gilbert shreds. Okay, next is a brand new double album from Devin Townsend. And he's one of these musical geniuses that you never know what he's gonna do. It might be death metal or it might be country rock. In this case, it's somewhere between metal, pop, and progressive. And if you're a fan of Ginger Wildheart or Galactic Cowboys or sci-fi or Star Wars or comic books or Dungeons and Dragons.
What's the point?
In other words, if you're a real nerd, you should like this. This is called Ziltoid Part 2. And the first CD is awesome. It's very atmospheric, very rockin'. And then the second CD is almost like a comedic sci-fi story. It's got a narrator, and the whole thing is just insane. But between the two CDs, there's just some amazing music in there, and I really like it. Once again, that's Devin Townsend off of his CD Ziltoid 2, and that is what's on my iPod. It's time now for a brand new segment that's nothing like It's Just Me or I'm Just Saying or any of the numerous segments where I just complain about stuff. No, this is completely new, and it's called I Don't Get It.
Yay!
And the first thing I don't get is this show called Dancing with the Stars. Have any of you guys seen this, or do your wives force you to watch it? I know mine does, and I sit there every week and watch it with her. And I always end up asking myself, why am I doing this, and why are there no stars on this show?
That is a very good question.
They're scraping the barrel now, and they're down to people that I have never heard of in my life. In fact, the professional dancers on this show are now more famous than the people on there that are supposed to be the celebrities. But the thing I really hate is everything on this show has to be so dramatic. And the other night, this hot-looking dancer's on there, and she's like, oh man, my dad's in the hospital, I may have to leave the show. And she's crying and everything, but of course she's able to stick around and do her dance. And after they're done, they ask her about it, and she just starts crying. And she's going, oh, this is really hard for me to do, I just couldn't hardly make it through the week. And all of a sudden, Lindsay leans over to me and says, can I see a nipple? And I said, yep, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And that's when I decided, hey, I'm going to keep watching Dancing with the Stars and not complain about it. But overall, as a TV show, I don't get it.
Okay, why don't you?
Speaking of celebrities, remember back a long, long time ago when you used to have to do something in order to be famous? You had to be a musician or get good at something like sports or invent something or work your ass off in comedy clubs to be a great comedian. Remember that?
I don't remember.
Well, no longer. Apparently now all you have to do is make videos and put them on YouTube and you can become a media mogul. A couple of weeks ago, Lindsay's teenage daughter had a birthday and Lindsay said, what do you want for your birthday? And she says, I want a t-shirt of Matt Espinoza.
Who is that?
Well, come to find out he's this little 13, 14 year old douchebag. And he makes these incredibly ignorant videos, and little teenage girls like my stepdaughter watch them. And so I go on there and watch them to find out what the deal is, and I swear to God, after a minute and a half, I'm ready to punch this kid in the face. Not my stepdaughter, but Matt Espinoza, or whatever his name is.
Oh, okay.
You see, this guy seemingly possesses no talent whatsoever. And not only that, he sells merchandise, and that pisses me off. So my advice to you is keep your kids off YouTube. It's hard enough to keep them from being a-holes without these punk-ass D-bags on YouTube encouraging them.
I don't get it.
Next, have you seen that actress Renee Zellweger lately? Well, she got plastic surgery, and you can barely recognize her anymore. And what I don't get is why people keep doing this to themselves.
They're jackasses.
I mean, she wasn't the hottest looking woman in the world or anything like that before the surgery, but she was cute. She had the squinty little eyes and, you know, she had some character. Same thing happened with Jennifer Grey. Remember her from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Dirty Dancing? She had this real cute, likable face, and then she goes and changes it. And yeah, she's technically pretty and all that now, but you don't even recognize her from who she was. She took that thing away that made her unique, and now she's just good looking.
Yeah, just a shame.
So people, unless you've been in some horrifying accident, please leave your faces alone.
Ah, I get it.
Okay, so what's up with all these tribute bands? The other night I'm watching the AXS Axis channel, and they've got World's Greatest Tribute Bands. And the night I saw it, it was Van Halen, and the singer looked just like David Lee Roth, sounded just like him. Hi-ya! The guitar player played just like Eddie Van Halen, and after a few minutes, I just went, okay, who cares?
Oh!
I mean, it's impressive that they can do that stuff, but who goes to see it? I saw The Real Deal back in 78, and maybe if you've never seen them, then it might be kind of nostalgic.
Oh, yes!
But otherwise, tribute bands, I don't get it. I mean, do you get it?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, so I'm driving this old piece of crap Nissan Pathfinder here lately. Have I mentioned this?
A lot.
I may have mentioned it once before.
That's enough.
Well, I needed new tires for it. Walmart was going to charge me $150, but they wouldn't do it because I had a missing lug nut. So I went checking around all these different auto places, and they were all like, oh, no, we can't do that without taking the entire vehicle apart.
Sure, they're pros.
Of course.
So to make a long story short, it went from costing me $150 to $600, all because they told me I needed an alignment and two tie rods. Do you know what tie rods are?
I think so.
Well, I do not.
Don't!
But they see me come in, they quickly figure out that I don't know anything about cars, and before I know what's happened, they've held me down and raped me with a tie rod.
Yes!
And the best part of the whole thing, it's still missing a lug nut.
Come on!
I mean, I really don't get it. Do I just have bad luck, or are auto mechanics just evil?
They are pure evil.
Either way, I'm just saying.
What?
I mean, I don't get it.
Me neither.
Before I go, I want to thank everyone for listening and sending in emails and top tens. You guys are great. I also want to give a big shout out to my favorite baseball team, the Kansas City Royals. They came out of nowhere to make this October a month that no one here in Kansas City will ever forget. And the thing you've got to understand is the people in this city have gotten so jaded over the years because we've just gotten used to being disappointed every year by our sports teams.
Because they suck.
And even though the Royals didn't win the World Series, just to have them get to the World Series was amazing, and we are so proud of those guys. On the other hand, if I never hear the names Bumgardner or Hunter Pence for the rest of my life, I'll be fine.
Sounds like you're a sore loser.
And one more thing. Baseball needs to change that designated hitter rule in the World Series. If the National League doesn't want to use it, they don't have to. But the American League teams need to be able to use it when they go to the National League ballparks. I'm sick of seeing pitchers who haven't swung a bat in years being forced to go up there and hit.
Stop whining.
Not that that's why the Royals lost. I thought the Royals were just as good as the Giants, but the Giants deserve to win.
Well, then shut up with your bitching.
Now, to wrap things up on this episode, I've got one more email to share with you, and it's from Matt in St. Louis. And Matt wrote to ask me if I have heard the new CD by Yellow Card. And the answer to that is, yes, I have, Matt. I've got it, but I've only listened to it once. And it sounds like there's some good stuff on there. It's a little different. but I'm a big Yellow Card fan. I've got pretty much everything they've ever done. And if you guys out there have never heard of them, you should check them out. They're just basically a rock band. They've got a violin player. They write some great melodies, and there's no screaming. So for all you wimps that can't handle screaming vocals, well, you don't have to worry about that.
Thank God.
And I'm actually going to play you one of their songs from back in 2011. It's called For You and Your Denial, and I hope you enjoy it.
This might be the lamest.
Don't forget to check out my website, MontyColvin.net. I've got paintings and t-shirts and CDs and all that kind of crap on there. And remember, Christmas is approaching, and if you want me to paint something for you, for your loved one or wife or something, drop me an email. Because my paintings make excellent gifts.
Commercial's over.
But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon. But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
If you're wondering when this is finally going to end, it's here.